Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
This is prime time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Howie Lim. Now, the Asia-Pacific region, once the driver of global air travel and predicted to make up more than half of new air passengers by 2013, has borne the brunt as the epicenter of the pandemic. As most flights in APEC fly international routes, the closure of international borders meant significant revenue loss, forcing many to turn idle passenger fleets into makeshift cargo fleets to boost revenue instead. Throughout the pandemic, maintenance, repair, and overhaul services, or MRO services, for those aircraft has remained a key essential service in many countries, including Singapore. Airline operators and industry players are being challenged to think beyond what they know to find new ways of doing things for maximum cost savings and efficiencies. New trends on leasing, borrowing, and purchasing are emerging in addition to digitalization and automation. For an industry still heavily reliant on legacy infrastructure and technologies, investments in digital transformations can bring long-term benefits that can help in the recovery post-COVID-19, helping floundering airlines and operators with greater cost savings and eventual profitability. Paul Neff, the Asia-Pacific Regional Director at Honeywell Aerospace, joins us today. Paul, thanks for your time.
Well, thank you for inviting me. It's nice to be back. It's been a while, and I'm delighted to have this chat.
So let's talk about, unfortunately, those challenges that airlines are facing to try and balance this ongoing need for reopening, if you will, and recovery while trying to stay afloat as well and just balancing everything.
Yeah, this has been a really scary 6-7 months, well, 8 months now, since we talked in February. We've seen the aviation industry and the airlines particularly take a huge hit with a vast amount of flights being canceled. You know, Hong Kong and Singapore, because every flight is an international flight, essentially, we're in the 90%+ of canceled flights. You know, that inevitably rolls into significant challenges for all of us in the industry, but for the airlines specifically.
And what's happening now, though? We do see some recovery, if you will.
There are some hopeful signs. For those places where we do have domestic flying that's happening, places like China, Vietnam, Japan to a lesser extent, and to a limited extent, New Zealand and Australia, we are seeing an upkick in the domestic flying. But every time there's a second or a third wave of the COVID infections, we again see canceling of flights and the reduction of people willing to fly. But by and large, we think the traveling public still have a yen to travel. I mean, we've got some airlines in some jurisdictions that are actually taking passengers out on flights to nowhere. The international borders aren't open, but they'll go up and fly them around and give them the airline experience and bring them back to the ground. But beyond that, airlines are drastically reducing staff, putting aircraft in what we would, in the layman's term, mothballs. You know, you take an airplane out of service, and you can't just let it sit, right? Particularly in a humid environment such as Singapore or Hong Kong, or in ASEAN generally, an airplane needs to be exercised. It needs to be, the engines need to be turned. The moving parts needs to be exercised. You have to put desiccants in the airplane to keep it from soaking up the moisture in the air. And all of those sorts of things have to be done. So there are costs associated with maintaining an aircraft, even though it's not operating.
Yeah.
So the airlines are struggling on the one hand with maintaining the airplanes they've got and not letting them deteriorate, but also looking forward to what can they do in terms of gaining money. And we've seen all sorts of innovative things. There's one airline I know that has taken, that's opened a small cafe and they're inviting people in to eat airline food, if you will, as though you were in first or second class or a business class. And they've gained actually quite a following for snacks and drinks. People are still willing to patronize the airline because they are known for a quality service. Other airlines are just really, really in pain, having to lay off people or put them on furlough, reduce staff, reduce payroll, and all of that sort of thing. That rolls into challenges for those of us on the supply chain side, because if the airplanes aren't flying, they're not breaking things, they're not sending things for repair, they're not buying spare parts. And so for us, as in the supply side of the business, it has become a pretty big challenge as well to sort of look at right-sizing the business that we have, but then social distancing within our workshops and having the right number of people on staff to handle the work that's flowing through has been a, I wouldn't say monumental, but it is something we have not dealt with in my career.
Talk to us, though, Paul, about some of the emerging trends on, say, leasing options, the borrowing and utilizing of parts from grounded fleets, purchasing used serviceable materials.
That's a natural trend that the airlines have gone to in downtimes in the past. And it continues in this COVID-19 period. The requirement to document and to make sure that the airplane remains whole. So if you take a piece out of one airplane for use in another airplane that's currently flying, that documentation, what part number, what serial number, what condition it was in, needs to continue to be done. But beyond that, we don't see the airlines cannibalizing airplanes so much as they are working on keeping airplanes healthy so that they can be quickly rehabilitated and put back into operation. I was watching a documentary about what Singapore Airlines is doing to maintain its fleet. And it's interesting the amount of work that it takes to keep an airplane in shape, even though if it's parked at Alice Springs in a desert environment where it's dry and there are people there to take care of it. Yeah, you have to keep the engines turning. You have to look at the other parts of the airplane that need to be exercised. The tires need to keep air in them.
Make sure you don't kill nesting birds.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's another thing. You've got vermin, you've got animals, you've got birds. Airplanes have holes in them, nice holes, great for making nests and camping
holes.
Out
yes.
for the animals. And insects can get into some of the air ducts and that sort of thing. And that then becomes a problem when you decide you want to put the airplane back in the air. You have to go make sure that all of that stuff is cleaned out if it's allowed to be brought into the airplane. So you're exactly right. Those are above and beyond sorts of requirements that the airline have to deal with in terms of keeping the airplanes flyable, or if they're parking them for any significant period of time. And IATA tells us that the traveling industry, if you will, is probably not going to recover to what it was in 2019 till probably 2024. Given that multi-year sort of recession, I think all of us are looking at what do we do to make sure that we protect both ourselves as well as the traveling public. So that leads us into all sorts of other things. For the limited amount of flying that's going on, it's primarily cargo or limited flying that's happening for so-called essential travel. And we are hopeful that as governments open these bubble circumstances or they open green lanes for specific types of travel, that will prove to be effective and manageable so that over time we can see the growth of that into a larger amount of the traveling public being able to travel.
Do you think digitalization might be the panacea to all things? I mean, that's a generalization, obviously, because say, for example, with regard to the leasing options, the borrowing of parts, for example, and the need to have your eyeballs on which part was taken when and what condition it was in, et cetera, that you mentioned, digitalizing that process would help. What other ways might digitalization and automation for the long term help?
The airlines were starting down the digitalization path over the last few years, and it's been a growing trend. COVID-19 has challenged us in some interesting ways. You mentioned the cannibalization of parts and tracking them and being able to acquire parts through e-platforms and that sort of thing. That is growing. It's not growing really fast, but it is growing. Honeywell has an e-commerce platform called Go Direct Trade. And we see more traffic on the site. There are about 7,000 users now, but the traffic is not growing at a pace that shows a quick upswing. It's a monitored, a metered growth, but the traffic on the site has grown. So there's an interest in this. We've talked in the past about the connected space, about being able to have data come down from the airplane and be used by the airlines to analyze and diagnose problems and predict and then prescribe solutions. If the airplanes aren't flying, the data is not coming down.
Yep.
So one of our challenges in that space is that we don't have the data flow. So it's harder for us to persuade the airlines to implement these types of solutions. However, a number of the airlines are saying to us, and we are saying to them, let's look at your data history. The data exists from days gone by. So let's take, say, the second half of 2000. Yes. So we take the last half of 2019, where we have a good flow of data, and we look at trends and how the airline was operating at that point in time. We can then, from that data, show them by way of analysis what they could make in terms of changes as they start flying again in the future to make their operation more efficient, to analyze and look at trends and to look at monitoring points, predictive sorts of things that have happened in the past that we can point to in the future and say we want to avoid that or we want to repeat that. So a number of airlines are working with us on these so-called trial programs where we're taking data from the past, looking at it, analyzing it, putting the tools in place on the ground so that the airlines can use those tools. And that's primarily what we call Honeywell Forge, a big data platform that allows us to look at that sort of thing. A number of the airlines are working with us on these experimental applications of Honeywell Forge to allow us to give them the tool set that would be useful, we hope, as the flying starts and becomes more normal, if you will, in a year or two's time.
I imagine the role of data and analytics will still be important, ever more so post-COVID, as travelers want a safer, more comfortable, more efficient experience. You'll still need that data to analyze.
Absolutely correct. We see a very big need to help the airlines persuade the traveling public that flying is safe. And so there are a number of things we're doing. We have a number of systems, air quality managing, monitoring systems. We have developed a UVC cabin cleaning system. You know, ultraviolet light has been used in hospitals and clinics for years to sanitize and remove virus and bacteria from the surfaces in those locations. We've developed a device, and it's not going to make us a lot of money. But as airlines look at how they can sanitize and de-virus their airplanes, this is another device that they can use in addition to wiping down the surfaces. This is a device that you can push up and down the aisles of the airplane, and the ultraviolet light then bathes the seats, all of the surfaces that might be touched by a passenger, to give them an added level of insurance that would say, when I come onto the airplane, it's a safe environment. We also, as you know, make protective equipment. So we've offered protective equipment packages to the airlines to distribute to their passengers, masks, gloves, sanitizing gel. And for the flight crews, we provide usable masks, that reusable masks that have removable filters so they can exchange the filters because they have a longer duty assignment than, say, a single flight. I mean, you don't want to get on an airplane and have all these people in hazmat suits. And you kind of say, well, that's not the kind of environment we got. But we're trying to help the airlines find a golden mean that would be a balance between what reassures and helps the passenger public feel safe, as well as is rational and realistic in terms of what's doable.
Going forward, though, in your opinion, how much more expensive will air travel be then? That's the million-dollar question, right?
You know, I do have a finance degree, but I'm not in the forecasting business. But I would say this. There was a consulting company, Oliver Wyman, did a survey a couple of months ago amongst the traveling public and amongst airlines themselves. And they were seeing the adjustments in terms of the downdrop, in terms of passengers willing to fly and that sort of thing. And they asked the passengers, what are the critical decisions that you would want to make before you travel next? Interestingly, safety and awareness of ability by the airline to show that it's projecting a safe environment was equally important as ticket price. So I suspect that ticket prices are going to moderate in terms of economies of scale. We see lots of airlines moderating their flight programs, even the big airlines in the U.S. where they're flying in a domestic environment. We see that many of the carriers are moderating their, you know, they would expect to increase flights during the November, December holiday periods. They're actually cutting flights. So with economies of scales coming down, I would expect that ticket prices will go up. Will they go up significantly? You know, that's a really tough question because airlines have to provide a service for a price that the traveling public are willing to pay. And so I think we're going to see some experimentation and there's likely to be some innovation in terms of what is offered to the traveling public. My suspicion is that the low-cost carriers will be challenged as much or more than the big mainline carriers because they have very few differentiating offerings vis-a-vis the bigger carriers above and beyond price. I mean, their primary offering is a cheap flight for a minimal offering. So I suspect that we'll see a bigger hit with the low-cost carriers than with the bigger, more expansive multi-class operators. Mm. But, you know, the low-cost carriers have been innovators from the very beginning. So one must not rule them out. They are an important part of our business. And so we wish them well, and we are standing by ready to help and assist with the products and services that we can offer in support of their operations.
Paul Neff, the Asia Pacific Regional Director at Honeywell Aerospace. Paul, thanks for joining us today, and stay safe, sir.
Thank you. And the same to you. Look forward to meeting again when it's getting better. We can all talk about the upswing and what the important parts of the industry are at that point in time.
Hopefully on a beach with a Mai Tai. This has been Mind Your Business.
Good image in my head.
On Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.